हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 65. Important verses, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.4. Mahad vichalanam nirinam grinam dina chaitasam nishreyas yasya bhagavan kalpate nanyatak vachit. O my Lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another not for their own interests, but for the sake of the poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Nanda Maharaj to Gargamuni. So the idea being is that such great personalities like Gargamuni, then they have no interest actually in anything within the material world. Right? So their actions are only for the benefit of others. Right, so that's the reason they're dealing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gargamuni was a Grihastha?
That I'm not sure. That I'm not sure. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.13. Asan varanas tvayo yasya grinato nu yugam tanu. Shuklo raktas tatapita idanim krishnatam gataha. Your son appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow, and now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the color of Shuka, a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. So this point is Krishna being the avatari, all the other incarnations are within him. Therefore, you may see a variety of pastimes. So, the pastimes based on the affection of the Brajabasis, that will be with him as the avatari. But when he deals with the demons, then he'll do that as Vasudeva. Right? Because killing demons, that's not, you know, something for sweetness. Right? That's something for you know, to establish the religious principles and protect the devotees. So he does that as Vasudeva. So correcting the situation. And last 10.8.46. Sri Rajovacha Nanda kim akarod brahman shreyam eva mahodayam yashoda cha mahabhaga papau yasya stanam harihi. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Jashoda, Prikamars inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahmana, Mother Jashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Because doing something of such stature in the devotional process means they had to perform devotional activities, right? Because only devotion comes from devotion. So he was inquiring, what did they do? How did they come to that platform? You know, and therefore, by that process, can anybody else come to that platform? Chapter 9. Mother Jashoda binds Lord Krishna. Pratigya. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for pure devotees, Krishna is already caught. Because bhaktas can capture Krishna simply by love and affection, yogis cannot capture Krishna by severe penances and austerities. But Mother Jashoda, despite all obstacles, was finally able to catch Krishna without difficulty. Also in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. This is the difference between a yogi and a bhakta. Yogis cannot enter even the effulgence of Krishna, whereas bhaktas can capture Krishna simply by love and affection. Krishna therefore confirms that if one wants to capture him, one must undertake devotional service. A devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. The Lord is not under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. Right? So this is the point. That's why we're seeing we're using activities to express that love. That's being reciprocated in activities. Right? One is using the various qualities and all that, and that is then Krishna's reciprocating in that. But the main principle that's there is that affection that the devotees have for Krishna, that's what's being reciprocated by Krishna. So the idea that one controls somebody, one's thinking of the control means that particular physical situation or emotional situation like that. But Krishna can't be controlled by any of those since he's the source of that. Right? But that devotion that the devotees have for Krishna, that's special. Right? So that catches his attention. That controls him. Right? So it's submission in devotion that then Krishna is submissive in his response. Right? It's not that I'm doing this, therefore I control Krishna. It's not by karma. Right? It's not that I have knowledge, therefore I control. That's not going to work. Right? It's because of this aspect of devotion. So even you could say, well, because Mother Jashoda is submissive to Krishna and stuff like that, but at the same time she's controlling, you know, Krishna and this and that by her activities. But that's not the cause of the control, because he opens his mouth, sees the universal form, she's bewildered. Does that make sense? So the point is all these things go together, that submission, that compassion, that control. So in submission there's control. Right? But it's submission in devotion. It's not the forms that are used. Right? The subtle and gross forms, those are the best ways to express. But it's not that. You know, it's just like, is the artist, they make a painting, is it all about the particular canvas they use, the particular kind of paint, and the particular brush? No. You know, and of course, you can't forget about the easel. Wrong easel, can't paint anything. Right? Right. In fact, they found is that somebody found in some old closet somewhere kept away Michelangelo's easel, and then anybody who used it, they could paint just as good. Right? You know. Then you had the, you know, besides Mona Lisa, you had the, you know, Mona Howard and Mona Louise, and you know, all these different things have all popped up that have become very, very famous. Right? No. So the whole point is it's not those. They're just the better mediums. They just make it easier. Right? I mean, most likely Michelangelo, if he had no brushes, he just used his fingers, it would still be a good painting. Right? Is that what it is? Yes, so that's... Yes.
When one has affection for Krishna, it still doesn't... The more affection is there for Krishna, the more we try to do the activities in the best possible way for his pleasure. Because
the more the mood is there to please Krishna, the more we try to do the activity nicely. Yeah. Yes, yes. So because the point is it's the medium to express it. Just like a good cook, they know how to cook nicely. So to enhance the manifestation of the principle of cooking, they try to arrange better paraphernalia and ingredients. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point is the form and action follows the desire, that end desire, that principle that's there, right? The primary principle. So the primary principle is pleasing Krishna. The secondary principle is the forms that they use to please Krishna. So since they want the best results in the primary, therefore they work for the best results in the secondary. Now that produces good results, but those results that is produced by the secondary are still secondary. Right? It's the love for Krishna, that being the primary, is still there. Does that make sense? So it, yes.
So mood is part of sambandha gyan.
Yes.
And then we see that in the beginning, all we worry, it's all mechanics.
Yes.
We work on the mechanics.
Yes, yes.
Up to a certain stage, say, yes. Nishtha.
Yes.
And then we start to understand that mood should be there.
Yes.
But for some people, it doesn't happen. It's all about mechanics all the way
up. Yes, yes, yes.
So is that a natural path? Or we can do mechanics and mood simultaneously?
Means the two go together naturally, because whatever you do, so in other words, when you say that they're not interested in mood, they have a mood.
They just don't worry about
the mood. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's their mood, is not to worry about the mood. So they just look at what's best for the mechanics. So their mood is what's best for the mechanics, that's what they do. So that they have a mood. So then they may, if they are, you say, you know, expert enough in that, or proper knowledge in that, they may get very good results. But now then the point is, who are the results for? Right? So if they're for Krishna, then they'll get a very good devotional result there also. If it's just to express that I'm so good at everything, like that, and you know I'm the best, therefore then, you know, because it's being offered to Krishna, it will have less devotional result. But because it's ultimately for Krishna and all that, because anybody who has all kinds of strange attitudes and this and that, if you ask them, well, who's this all for, they'll all say Krishna, because they know that that's what it's for ultimately. It's just a matter of whether that ultimate goal is more prominent in the mind, or all the, you know, secondary results on the path to become more prominent. But that's what makes them devotees, because they have faith, Shraddha, therefore they've had faith in pure devotion. That's why they'll always, when you question far enough, it will come to that point. But, you know, as you can see before, sometimes when someone would say something, we'd ask them what it's for, and sometimes it would take 20 questions to get to Krishna, you know? And sometimes it would take 2 or 3. But the point is it's just sometimes, in other words, that one puts in proper knowledge effort into the secondary aspects is important because of its use in expressing the primary of pleasing Krishna. But to overemphasize that and think that on its own, that's what creates devotion, that's where the weakness is. So until that switches, that's the whole point of the Sarvadharmam Parityaja, is that you're switching from thinking it's the skill and activity that makes the devotion. In other words, the better I am at the skill and my result, the better a devotee I am. I did this, I got this result. They did that, they got that result. See, mine's better, I'm a better devotee. But that's caused by the mode of ignorance. As Kapila Muni points out, as someone in the mode of ignorance, devotion in the mode of ignorance, then they think that their skill is what is their symptom of devotion. Right? When actually it's that surrender to Krishna, the accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable, seeing Krishna as a protector and maintainer of humility, you know, identifying as Krishna's devotee. These are the symptoms of surrender, you know, of devotion, not how expert you are. That just shows that you're getting good results, and so you have a conditioned nature to produce good results, and you're using that for Krishna. So therefore, then that's nice, you know. But then you see is that has to be for that. It's not because of that, right? In other words, it's not the symptoms that make the devotion. The devotion makes the symptoms. So at some point we try to reverse that. So the first thing to do is, even though we may be stuck on that, religion first, and then that's offered in devotion. So then you have that aspect of now whether it's done in the idea to please Krishna or it's not. So that aspect of being a separatist or not, that would be then your point of focus. Because let's say not being not focusing on the activity for the activity's sake, that may take longer to get rid of. Because religion being engaged in Krishna service is bona fide. So renunciation is bona fide. And so therefore, functioning in the mode of goodness, you're following what is appropriate and everything like that, and results then for Krishna. So that aspect is works fine. So, but the separatist aspect, now that's, you see, is in passion and ignorance only. It's not in goodness. So therefore, the reason for doing it is to please Krishna. Why you're choosing certain things to do is because that's Krishna's preference. So Krishna is then, you know, involved in that. So then you apply yourself. So that's the first place that you would work on. So it's not a problem that they're focused on their knowledge and skill. It's a problem if it's not about pleasing Krishna. Right? So the more that's brought to the front, then the better the quality goes up. And at some point, then you see it's just pleasing Krishna becomes the real thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they can have that. It just means that if at the the point is whatever is there at the time of death, you remember Krishna, you go back to Godhead. So you want to try to see that it's about Krishna, because if you're just doing your work and not thinking about Krishna, then you might take shelter of these things that you feel identify yourself. Right? Because if you're leaving the body, then what's your identity? Where you're going? You don't know. So the tendency is to latch on to something that you know. Right? And so therefore you might latch on to that. You know? Even if it's service, like Prabhupada tells that story of the devotee in Jagannath Puri. His service was collecting the bath water for the deities. But at the time of death, he was thinking, who's going to collect the bath water? He wasn't thinking about the deities. Right? So, of course, something like that means they're not going to go back to Godhead, but because he's situated nicely and fixed in his service, he'll be born in the family of devotees. Right? So that's the thing. You try to have to bring it forward to Krishna is the thing. So that's why in training, then always that's the main point. And then how to do that, you're going to use these other things. So the other things are as useful as they're engaged in Krishna's service. So if you have skills to do greater, you do that. But it's about engaging in Krishna's service. Otherwise, then the training, you have the same problem that you had last life. So you're trying to move it forward, right? Now, if at the time of death you do remember Krishna, but you have that kind of stiff attitude or just about the technique, then in the spiritual world, then you'll be in that same mentality, though in the spiritual form in the spiritual world. And so then one will be, you know, focusing on doing one's activities very nicely. So that will go along, and one will be there. But if at some point one then sees that attraction to Krishna, that affection to Krishna, who you're doing the things for, is actually more important than the work. At that point, then you get the association of the eternal associates of the Lord. Then you start to progress very nicely. Otherwise, one will stay like that, and then we'll see where comes up the example. When Krishna plays the flute, then those gopis who are expert in doing their things, they can't go. Because they're too focused on the secondary, not on the primary. Now, if in that moment they immediately see that and surrender to that primary aspect of pleasing Krishna, then Yoga Maya allows them to go. But if not, then they're kept there, and then through that feeling of separation, the desire to please Krishna, it burns up all their previous good and bad karma, so that anything that's getting in the way then is gone. So these samskaras that I am, you know, very expert or this or that, they go away. Then the next time they have the rasa dance, they're able to go. But still, they have to go through that purification. So the point is Gokul is arranged to purify everybody and bring them to the platform of prema. That's why in the demons, you see, they purify a specific anartha from the heart of the devotee. So for us reading it, it's getting rid of the gross aspect. For those in Braj, it's getting rid of the subtle, the fragrance of it. You know, it may not be there, but there's a smell. You know, just like, yeah.
Can we say that masculine always begins with the sambandha aspect and moves ahead, whereas the feminine begins with the prayojana?
Does the masculine always start with the sambandha and the feminine the prayojana? The masculine, what is it focused on? We said it's situated in, so the masculine is situated in sambandha, but where's the attention?
The result.
Results. So that means on the prayojana. Situated in sambandha, but focused on prayojana. So that would mean that if we take the opposite, the feminine is situated in prayojana, focused on sambandha. Where is the connection?
Abhideya.
You understand? So, since Abhideya is the position, therefore, then it is the point that we're making here. It is the aspect that brings things together. So, it's the interaction between the masculine and the feminine that's the primary aspect. What is the interaction? That's secondary. So, but the quality of the secondary then has effect on the status of the interaction. You understand? So, in other words, the masculine principle has that aspect of security. There's that stableness. Right? But the point is that aspect can be expanded. Well, you can get something more. So, therefore, the focus on the prayojana. Right? While the feminine has all those aspects of all the enjoyment, but what's the steadiness of it? Right? So therefore, then they focus on the masculine. That's how it works. So its interaction is hence the couch potato doesn't make for great family development.
But he doesn't seem to be focused on prayojana either.
Yeah, no, he's focused on nebbishness.
Which probably is Abhideya.
No, it's just a particular, the vacuum of existence.
Beyond the moment.
Below the modes, yes. In other words, the mode, the being active and trying to get results, then, you know, they're not getting any pleasure from that, so then they just pull back into just existence mode. But because you're not talking about existence in knowledge or transcendence, so it's existence. In other words, the transcendental existence means it's within the Shuddhasattva, pure knowledge, right? But now, if you're trying to be Atmarama in the material world without the knowledge of Shuddhasattva, what's your option? Right? Ignorance. So therefore, you could say, you know, Shuddha Thomas. You know, right? It's just pure ignorance. So that's just the whole point. You just go there and just vegetate.
Unadulterated.
Yes, pure, unalloyed, unadulterated vegetation, right? And so then the problem is because what's happened here? Why will that make women annoyed or insecure? Because as we said, they're focused on sambandha, right? But the sambandha that the masculine nature is in at that time of potato-ness, does it include prajumna? No, because prajumna is then what connects you to prayojana, not the sambandha, not the sankarshan aspect. Sankarshan is just yourself, knowledge of yourself, knowledge of the things around you. So there's no knowledge of the relationship, but there's nothing dynamic. It's not. So it's only when there's prajumna, then there's the activity. Does that make sense? So as long as the man has that prajumna aspect, then the women are comfortable and the interaction is dynamic. But as soon as he goes back into sankarshan, that's when women become uncomfortable. Because if they're not focusing on them, it means that, you know, there's no prajumna, there's no prayojana, therefore what's their position, what's their identity, what's their relationship? So the men are thinking, what's the big deal? But it's a big deal, because you're talking about existence. You know, the man's thinking, what's the big deal? Because he exists, you know, on his own. But the woman's thinking, well, we have a relationship, but where's the symptom of it? So there's no existence. So that's doubted.
His existence.
Yeah, his existence, yeah. And you already have enough potatoes in the kitchen, right? And you are in control of those potatoes. Wow. Biggest one yet. Even brushes the trees, that one. So, therefore then the woman will try to create something to move him from sankarshan into prajumna. Like that. So depending on what it is, then she'll have her tactics. Whether they work or not, that's another thing. But they're applied. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So you're going to have the tactics, but it doesn't mean that the tactic doesn't already come with the contrariness. Well, then if he already comes with prajumna, then she can apply the contrariness, because the contrariness means stretches things out. Right? The interaction is nice, therefore if you're contrary, it makes the interaction go longer. Yeah. There's more aspects to it. Instead of just having one feature, the man will try different features to try to, you know, get through the barrier of contrariness, you know, or shyness or elusiveness. He'll try. Because any of those, what do they do? It means you have to try different things. Does that make sense? Well, for the men, it's obvious. It's one thing. That's why in these kind of things, women always win. Because the man is manifesting what? It's obvious. But the woman, you don't know what it is. So that's the whole point. But it creates the interaction. Right? That's what it's for. In the spiritual world, all that is created to please Krishna. Right? It's all about Krishna. In the material world, it's done all about pleasing yourself. So that's the difference. The form is the same. You know? Well, you know, depending upon the modes, it may be done in a very subtle, sophisticated way or a more gross way. You know, it may be a silence or a look, or it may be a flying plate or a radio. So it just depends upon the level of sophistication and development. Does that make sense? So it's just, that's there, but the principle is the same. Yes? No, but they're blaming him for that in that point in the rasa dance. When they come back and ask him about the Atmarama, they're considering that that's what he's doing. Like that. But he points out that no, it's you know, there's other things happening there. And he points out that their love, he can't. So the point is they're not confident of that love. Radharani is, that's why he goes off with Radharani. But that's the whole point, is that they have to understand is all of their conjugal love has to be in line with Radharani's. Then it works nicely, because the point is Radharani's love is unlimited, while theirs has a particular specific aspect. So unlimited plus theirs, that's nice. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I have a nice, how you say, the nice arrangements. You know, you have the whatever it is, the dessert and the fruit and this, and you put a sprig of mint, right? Like that. You're not necessarily going to eat the mint. It's there for show. But I add that, it adds to the flavor. It's going to be nicer. But if I bring that nice plate with just that little bit of mint on it, it's kind of like, huh? You know, what's this? So that's the whole point. Anybody else in the conjugal ras without Radharani, it's that sprig of mint. And we're being generous here, because the actual example is Mount Meru and a mustard seed. Right? But, you know, we're just trying to make it a little more pleasant. Right? So, does that make sense? So, that's the whole point, is that that has to be understood by everybody. But the point is because of their devotion, he can't repay that. So, you know, this is the point that's being made here. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for pure devotees, Krishna is already caught. So we're already seeing this here from Mother Jashoda. And so she is already established as, you know, the senior most in the whole Braja Leela. Right? Because the whole thing, it centers around everybody's in Braj, so then Nanda Baba and Mother Jashoda are the king and queen, so they're the head devotees, you could say, in the whole thing. This conjugal on this, because it's not official, so it's on the side technically. So that's why he says it's an open secret. So it's, even though it's the prominent rasa, it's not the official prominent rasa. The official prominent rasa is Mother Jashoda. So we're starting. So we've already included everybody else, right? So now we have Mother Jashoda here, and that will then go through to the gopis, and how they have bound Krishna. Then you have the completeness of the, you know, the uniqueness of Braj. Is that all good on this? So in other words, as we're Krishna conscious, so all these techniques you can use, but even if they give you better results in the material world, if it's not connected to Krishna, still ultimately that will give you problem. Right? As we saw, was it Upabarhana? Is that his name? Then Narad Muni is the Gandharva. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about here, you know, he could write encyclopedias on it, right? Because he's you're dealing with one lady and trying to maintain that. He's dealing with 50 and not having to worry and to balance all that. So, you know, how much you have to be good to balance 50 girls, because each one is trying to get the full attention and prove that she's better than all the others. And she's getting her attention at the same time everybody else is getting their attention. You understand? But still, it causes problem. Right? It's just being mentioned for two reasons. One is, it just makes life easier, because when husband and wife can cooperate together, then it makes the, you know, the use of household life in Krishna consciousness just so much easier. Mm-hmm. Right? And at the same, you know, we're talking about Krishna consciousness. Renunciation, that's another thing, but Krishna consciousness. Right? And then the other aspect is that its use as a tool, a secondary tool in Krishna consciousness, then the better you know about it, the nicer it goes. But that is just to please Krishna, that's the actual primary point. So in other words, the primary point is to please Krishna, and because of this, how it came up in the relationship here, you know, in the discussion, therefore, then it goes into this. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, that's the whole thing. So that's why in Mother Jashoda, because in dealing as a parent, then who's in the masculine position?
That's the mother.
Right? Mother Jashoda. Mm-hmm. And then Krishna means in the interaction, means the method of interaction. Mm-hmm. Then Krishna is in the feminine position. Mm-hmm. So it's all about how to please him. Mm-hmm. Right? Because whoever's in the feminine position, the center is on them. Right? Because mm-hmm. the goal is always your main center. Mm-hmm. Right? So that makes it there. So then when she sees the universal form in Krishna's mouth, what position does that put her in and Krishna? Mm-hmm. It reverses the roles. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's incompatible for the relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's why then it goes back to the other way. So she can't see it that way. Because mm-hmm. it's incompatible. Mm-hmm. Is that amazing? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. It's incompatible with the Vatsalyas.
Yes, incompatible with the Vatsalyas. Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's the whole thing, is that the aspects of the rasa, what's being tasted by these devotees, that's the whole point. And we can see is that's what we're trying to get our devotional service to. So it's not about the secondary. Secondary is just the useful form. So whatever position we are in due to our conditioning, we simply take that and use it for Krishna. Right? Because you can say, oh no, but we're spiritual. Then go ahead, pull out your spiritual spiritual body and do all your stuff, then we're not going to complain. Mm-hmm. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, there were some Brahmins, they were very upset about him. And so they were trying to, they wanted to kill him. So then they made some arrangements that they were, when he was going, because you know, you watch and he goes down the path every day and this and that. So then they go to attack him. And so he goes into the bushes. And then they're sitting there thinking what's happening. Then from out of the bushes comes a Braja Gopi. And then gives them all kinds of instructions and this and that. And so then they figure, okay, we better not mess with this guy. And then they all went away. So, yes, if you can say, we're not this body, we don't have to follow in this, great. Manifest your spiritual form, and in that form, do your service. We will not complain. But the point is still in the spiritual world, according to their form and all that, the form being an expansion of, or the secondary support of their primary, their love for Krishna, the two match. So Mother Jashoda doesn't do whatever she likes. Nanda Baba doesn't do whatever he likes. Coward boys don't do whatever he likes. Right? So therefore, they follow that form. In other words, they have the love first, then the form is to express that love, so they never go outside of what that form does. So in the same way here, not having the spiritual form, we only have the conditioned form. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the same principle is there. The form is used to, for the primary pleasing Krishna. So why would you do something else? You know, would we be happy if Mother Jashoda decided she's coming out to the fields with the cowherd boys, and she's got her skateboard, you know, like that, and you know, she's cool, you know, like that. You know? No. We wouldn't like that.
And hence, Maharaj, the conditioned form in the material world uses Varnashram to please Krishna.
Yes, we use Varnashram because in the conditioned form, because otherwise how do we know what to do? Because in the spiritual world, then, because of the love, they have the form. So they already know what to do. They want to express that love. So the Yogamaya gives that form so that they can then express it perfectly. In the material world, it means we're the soul, we're not the body, gross or subtle. So what is our work? Our work is to do devotional service to Krishna. But we think we're the body. Therefore, we have, according to my mentality, my consciousness, therefore, and the nature, therefore, of the subtle body, I get a gross body to express my subtle body. So in other words, if we have a particular body, the subtle body does match that, like it or not. So only if we change the consciousness, then we can change the intent of it, because before it's going to be to please ourselves. But the nature of our gross and subtle body are going to remain the same. It means what facilities we have. We can improve it by devotional service, the qualities we have. But still we have that gross body to express it through. So therefore we take the form that we have here and engage it in Krishna's service. And so it doesn't matter what it is. We're not saying, oh, Mother Jashoda and the gopis are inferior because they're women, so actually, you know, Sridham, Sudham, and Nanda Baba, they're the superior, you know, and it's all about the bulls, not about the cows, you know. You know, like that. We kind of have a slightly different Vrindavan, wouldn't we? You know? It's like that, what do you call it? There's an island, I think a Greek island, that has a monastery on it. It's a small island, the monastery. Nothing female is allowed there. Yes. Even the animals that they have are all male. No female animals. You know? Huh? I don't think they worry about it. I mean, I don't think they can do much about the birds, but unless someone's there is, you know, designated to shoot them or something. Yeah, you know, a pair shows up, then, you know, that's it. Sorry. But I guess being on an island, not many fly over from the other. So, that's the word spread. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the word spread. So, yeah, we'd have a slightly different manifestation of Vrindavan. Right? How you say? You know, you have Braja Vrindavan or Ananda Vrindavan or these different things. You have, you know, Macho Vrindavan, you know, like that. You know, so yeah, so these different kinds of, you know, flavors and all that like that. So then the point is that it's not a fault. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense? See, is now, let us say, if the gopis can freely move about as they like, then is there, how special is the parikya aspect? You know what I'm saying? Because nowadays, in the modern world, boys and girls move around together. Do we consider it parikya? Not really. I mean, technically, if you look at it, it is, because they're not married. But technically, according to the social custom, it's bona fide. Boys and girls get together and this and that, so as long as no one gets pregnant, everything's cool. Right? That's the bottom line, right? And so then there's no real substance to the parikya rasa. Right? But if the gopis can't move about, then having to get out of that, being able to, you know, like that. So in other words, the gopi just tells their, you know, their mother, has, you know, hey, I'm going to, you know, my friend's house, we're having a sleepover, you know. And then they go, you guys have a lot of sleepovers. Oh, it's Saturday, we're going shopping, you know, it's like this. So the whole point is this, it wouldn't have the same flavor, the intensity would not be as much. Therefore, these things are there. Right? Therefore, they have to go out at night or in the middle of the day when nothing's happening, right? Who goes out in the middle of the day? Right? How do you say? Mad dogs and Englishmen, right? So in Brudge, there's no mad dogs or Englishmen, so nobody's out in the middle of the day. So what does that mean? That means then they can go to Radhika. Because after lunch, you don't go to the ponds. That's the time for the Gandharvas, Yakshas, all those guys, that's their pond time. So from there until the evening when you would take, you know, when that recreation stuff would happen, then that's their time. So they can go down there confidently knowing that pious people who follow Shastra aren't going to come and, you know, come running down and do a cannonball into the water there while they're there with their, you know, with their wives and friends. Innocent. So it's all worked out like that. So that's why then the only two times that nobody's out in the day is at midday, and at night everyone's asleep. So that's the, so you understand? The parikya becomes increased. So it's all about that. That's why these rules are there. You know? If you could get a nanny, then how much would Mother Jashoda's affection for Krishna be? You understand? You know? Yes, okay, in the evening, every day, you know, how you say at that time just for, you know, just for dinner, stuff like that, then the nanny, you know, gives the kids a bath like that, dresses them up very nice in their formal outfit, they come down for the dinner like that, then there's the dinner and all that, there's a few little, you know, words, how's school, how's this and that, and then after that, the nanny takes them back upstairs. And that was it for the next 24 hours. Right? So how deep do we call that relationship? Mm-hmm. Not much. Mm-hmm. Therefore, then, here's the natural ways that things go. Not that she doesn't have nurses and other things to help. Mm-hmm. But they're helping her in her mood, not that they're replacing her. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So there's rules. These rules are simply to bring out the devotion. So the forms naturally follow the mood. Well, here it's not like that. Here we don't have a mood other than I'm the controller and enjoyer and whatever we happen to have gotten now, you know. Well, okay, cool. You know? Is that, you understand? So therefore taking whatever you have now, applying that according to the Varnashram to please Krishna, then we're just that way doing the same thing that they do. So how will we do that? Because we're not interested in just following Varnashram. Because that you can do and be a total materialist. So we're taking the thing is that I'm servant of Krishna. So a servant of Krishna, what should I do for Krishna? What are my facilities to do activities? Right? So what secondary, it means the primary is to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, serve Krishna. What's the secondary I have? So you look at what you have, and then according to that, then you apply that. That's where the Varnashram comes in. So you know what to do with the secondary things that you have. Does that make sense? You know, the recipe says take the greater and grate the potatoes. Right? Does that make sense? It doesn't say take the ping pong paddle and grate the potatoes. You know.
But we need to be trained.
But how often is Prabhupada mentioned? every third purport? So sometime you would hope that one would go, oh, the light would go on, you know. Yes. So that's the thing is, but until, that's why Prabhupada says there has to be a class of Brahmins, because that Brahminical mood is the all-pervading mood in the Vedic. It's only in occupation that you have Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra that then is in support of the Brahminical. But occupationally may have a different flavor. But as far as ashram goes and the Brahminical Varna, so 5 out of 8 function on the Brahminical standard. You know, so 5 out of 8 is a majority. Okay. And the other are only according to occupation. So they go 24 hours while this only goes 8 hours. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the point. So then, if that's there, then we would see the importance of focusing on creating Brahmins, not successful people in bureaucracy, seeing that bureaucracy's for Shudras. Used by Kshatriyas, but the people in bureaucrats are Shudras. Right? And if you say no, but someone's from, you know, a Dwija background, then yes, that is also bona fide. They're called Kayasthas. But their position in the hierarchy is Shudras. Yeah, you understand? So is that if they can do that, they'll do a good job of it. But the difference is, you'll see they'll actually do a good job. And if they're actually bad at bureaucracy, then, you know, better to, then one should try, how you say, white collar or blue collar. You know, stay out of the bureaucracy. Is that make sense?
Maharaj, when you say about Mother Yashoda, who has the topmost affection for Krishna, and the other elderly gopis who are also in the same rasa vatsalya, but then is it the fact that all these devotees also will be having a range of affection, because of which there will be gradation even in that?
They'll have a range of affection. All means all the others. Yes, they'll have a range under Mother Yashoda.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It's always, she's going to be the top. That's always that.
Okay. So you never have anyone equating to Yashoda, Mother Yashoda?
You never have?
Anybody's affection equating?
No. It'll never happen. I'd mentioned that before, so we should give up the doubt. No one will ever be, in other words, in the conjugal rasa, no one will be equal to Radharani. In the parental, no one will be either equal to Nanda and Yashoda. Right? In the friends, then, Sudama, Sridama, Subal, Madhama, no one's going to be the same as them. You know, Danishta and Raktak and these, like, in the, like that. And then, Madhavendra Puri and, you know, and Surabhi and these ones in the Shanta. So it's just, they're the leaders of the rasa. And so everybody follows them. That's the meaning of following the footsteps. It's never going to be the same. So that was the question before, right? Wasn't that the whole question? Is that, you know, what past auspicious activity? So can anybody else come to that? No.
Because these Gujaratis, they worship Krishna and Radha Gopal as their own kid, as their own child.
So yeah, yes. But that everybody who sees them as a kid is, it's just like this. Let us say that there is, you have the neighborhood, right? And in the neighborhood, there's this one really sweet kid, and everybody likes the kid. So he spends time in all the houses, and they all feed him doklas and then the whole thing. But is their love going to equal his mother's? No. So, but they all see him as their child. You understand? So the point is one has to understand following the footsteps is always, always, always the principle. That's why when we talk about Ragatmika, we still point out the fact that it's still within Ragatmika, you're still Raganuga, following the Ragatmika of others' Rag. Even though you may be in the position that Rag is your main thing, but who's Rag? Not your Rag, the one is above you. So your Rag is following their Rag. You know? So it's always like that. It never is otherwise, and we should never, how do you say, have that thought. The Lord is not under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. The Vrindavan Vasis, Mother Jashoda, Krishna's friends and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis with whom he dances, had very intimate relationships with Krishna. And one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Only if you follow in the footsteps, if you think you'll become, he'll never be available. He'll never actually advance. Because it's impersonalism. So only bhakti you'll advance. Impersonalism you can't advance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore recommended prema pumarto mahan. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love in relationship with Krishna. So that's the things we have to understand, is that love is the point, not the activities of the love. Right? So, in other words, the principle is that love for Krishna, and then applying that in the situation you're in. That's what they're doing in the spiritual world. So, as we said, they have that love for Krishna, then Yoga Maya arranges the particular forms and situations they're in, therefore the actions and results they can get to offer to Krishna. We're in the material world, so therefore we're under Mahamaya, so Mahamaya then, according to our mentality, has manifest our subtle and gross bodies as the way they are according to our consciousness. Therefore then, that's what we have to use. Then if we want to say, no, but we want to be spiritual, the point is the secondary activity must match the secondary facility. So since we don't have the facility that Mother Jashoda and the residents of Vrindavan have, we don't do the activities they do. We do the ones that match our position. Right? Now, the difference is we can function under Yoga Maya, but we're going to be doing that with whatever's the secondary facilities given by Mahamaya. Does that make sense? So, but the effect will be that of Yogamaya. So there's no question of copying. The Sahajiyas, they copy. They want that love, you know, that the gopis have. So therefore, then they follow the activities that they do. You know, and some will be more extreme than the other. You know, like see guys in saris and Navadvip that, you know, with a little bit of stubble, but they'll have that little pearl in their nose and like that, and trying to, makeup and trying to look very.
Those are sakibekis,
yeah. How much you see them now, I don't know, but yeah. Before you'd see all these things a bit more, now you see a bit less. But, you know, so.
Now you see them on TV.
Now you see them on TV.
From some other parts.
Okay, yes. Yes, from King's Cross. Yeah. So, so all this is useless. But we're thinking, no, but I'm doing the activity that, the principle is the activity you want to be doing. How it's manifest is the secondary, because otherwise, let us say we're out camping. And you're going to go cook something, right? So since you're out camping, then the first thing you do is get out that, you know, how you say, you know, 150 euro, you know, Teflon pan that you have in, you know, and, you know, in that whole kitchen that you have, right? No, you're going to be cooking in some aluminum pot or a can or something else stupid that you really wish you weren't. But hey, that's all part of the experience of camping. You know, hence canned food is so popular. Because even if you can't cook it, you can't get the fire started, you can still eat beans as long as you brought the can opener. If you didn't, can opener, okay, as long as there's a knife. And if you forgot the knife, then if you work at it, you can kind of mutilate it a bit on a sharp rock. But generally, you only get the juice, and it's not very successful. And anyway, tomorrow morning, you're going back, so you just end up starving. Yes. That was too familiar. Okay. Yes. So, therefore, using the facilities we have here and trying to do what they do there, that's not what it is. That's why we use what's recommended. So we're here in our conditioning, what's recommended, that's what we use. So in the Pancharatrik, we do those things according to recommendation. And outside of the Pancharatrik, we need to express more varieties of thing than the Vedic gives. And outside of that, the modern, that is vikarma or akarma. It means things you should do, you don't do, and things that you shouldn't do, you are doing. Right? But what you're supposed to do, that of course is never done, because it would be against the modern principle. Right? And if it is, it's by accident. Don't worry, after time people forget about it anyway. Right? You know, does that make sense? Yeah.
They come in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
There's a bona fide way to develop or to start to develop the spiritual body while here, but in meditation.
Yes.
So should we try for that?
Try for that. But the point is how well is that meditation going? You understand? So that meditation is starting by, the meditation is on those who are in that position. You know, so let's take, for example, someone wants to follow in the footsteps of Mother Jashoda. So what they do is meditate on Mother Jashoda and her pastimes that she's performing. That's how it's done. But if you meditate on yourself being there with the spiritual body and all that, then it won't work out. That's called sahajya. So unless you're liberated, then to meditate that you're doing anything is sahajya. But to meditate upon what those who are doing it is doing, then that's the bona fide, that's raganuga. Does that make sense? That's how you tell the difference. So if they're telling you, oh, the meditation, then, you know, think that then, okay, then you're going to the stove and putting on the milk for Krishna, and then now you're going and getting this for Krishna, and all those, then that's the sahajya. Like that. Because the point is we're not there, we're not in the spiritual form, so then, you know, Mother Jashoda is going to come along and go, what's this pot? You know, it'll be an annoyance. You know, so, you know, how much do people like people who crash the party? They're uninvited, they show up anyway. Right? No one likes, so they're not going to like in the spiritual world. So the point is you're supposed to be following and doing it, following in their footsteps. So then that's the whole idea. Does that make sense? So that's the path of Raganuga. Is that you meditate on what they do. You may like different services and all that, but you see them doing them, not you. And so if you can meditate like that, you have the inspiration, great. But you have to know what the meditation is. And so it's only as developed as you are absorbed in that. You know what I'm saying? So to force the issue, then meditate on doing those yourself, that's easier to do. Because it's actually bogus. It's material. So material things are actually much easier than the spiritual for the conditioned nature. For the soul, actually the spiritual is easier. Does that make sense? So that's how it actually works. That's the point. Because it's the mentality you're trying to catch. They have the... So we're taking, oh, but if you go and do this, then that's you're on that platform of prema. No, it's because they're on the platform of prema. They're doing that. So unless we're doing that following them, by their instruction, unless they told us to do that, then it doesn't mean anything. So when it comes to the point is you're following the footsteps of that, then you know, it'll go there. That's why then Raghunath Das Goswami, then when he mentions in his Manasiksha about his offering obeisances to the Brajbasis, he mentions those who are there, you know, physically, and those who are there by meditation. So in other words, he's offering his obeisances to all the Uttamadikars. Then after that, to the other devotees, the preachers, and then the other devotees in general, and all living entities, like this. So there's two aspects. So, therefore, if you remember Krishna at the time of death, you'll go to Gokul. And then, if you haven't been there by meditation, then you'll start then. You're already there, anartha nivritti is accomplished, you can move forward very nicely. If you have been there by meditation, then wherever point one has developed to, one will continue from that point. So it's just a matter of what naturally happens. It's not something you can force. Affection can't be forced. That's why you go through the motion of what's recommended. These are the activities, but following the mood then catch by that getting the blessings, then only. So if you show up uninvited, who's going to give you blessings? Right? You just kind of want like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that one cannot project oneself into the pastimes. You meditate on the pastime, but you do not project yourself into them. Because if you do, you'll find the pastime disappears. Because you're not supposed to be there. Is that
you can say that if we start to do that observation here, then it's good and it's developing, but if not, then in Gokul we start from the same point. We just observe the pastimes in the beginning and then slowly we enter the pastimes.
Yeah. It'll happen anyway. So that's the point that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura makes, is that whether you develop Raganuga Bhakti now, you know, as a Madhyama, or it only comes once you become an Uttama, when you have your Surup Siddhi. The point is it will happen. It's not that it's not going to happen, because how do you get prema, Braja Prema, without Raganuga? Because Raganuga is following Ragatmika. So it'll happen at one point or another. So even if you just follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and that's all the farther one's mentality is, but one is dedicated to that, one will move up through the process. One will get taste, one will get attachment. It will come to that point. So that's why one doesn't have to worry. It's one of those, if it shows up, great. And if it doesn't, then it will show up. It's not time bound, and it's not that it's something that, oh, if I don't have this, I'm not advanced. So that's why one just confidently focuses on doing one's devotional service, and that's what one does. Does that make sense? So, but that, aware that that is a possibility, that's the whole point. But to give a whole sadhana for that and a whole practice for that, that's where the bogusness comes in. Does that make sense? That's the difference. So in other words, the concept, oh, Raganuga Bhakti is, you know, that's bogus, that's totally bogus. Raganuga is our line. But where it comes in your life, that's there. And it's not by secondary, it's by primary. Because primary is Krishna conscious. So remembering Krishna, remembering the devotees, remembering the pastimes, right? So name, form, quality, pastime. That is primary. So that's the Raganuga process. It's primary. You're developing from primary. That makes the secondary. But the misnomer is that I will use the secondary to get that. It's not going to happen. It just won't happen. That's why we say sahajiyas and all these, you know, how you say, upasampradayas, because they do something that's not going from primary to secondary. They're emphasizing the secondary, all of them. Okay. So that's why what Lord Chaitanya gave, that's the real thing. Because in the pastimes that you see, you don't see anybody externally doing anything other than Vaidhi in their practice. You can get symptoms of that someone can do, you know, 2,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas. It's not going down once and going through 2,000. That means every Vaishnav gets an obeisance. Right? At the same time, imagine 2,000 push-ups a day? Not bad.
You know? And not eating.
So you see for that, you can tell by what position they're on. But the externals is something that we can follow. Offering obeisances to the devotees, that we do, not 2,000 times a day. You know? Not eating more than necessary. You know, we generally need a little bit more than, you know, a little bit of buttermilk every other day. So that's why then the recommendation. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's a bona fide part, but you have to know how it's a bona fide part. So any of the times it's come up, Gopi Bhava Club, this, that, because they're taking the secondary as the Raganuga aspect, when it's not. That's why Prabhupada said, it's bona fide, but as soon as you do that, that's bogus. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is that? So then it's either, I mean, it's mentioned, Those who catch it, they can use it. Those who don't worry about it. Because the point is it comes in its own sweet time. Literally. Bhakti is independent. When bhakti likes, that's when it comes. It has nothing to do with, you know, how you say. What is that one thing you see? Something on demand. You pay and then you get.
Video on demand.
Huh? Video on demand. Yeah, it's not like that. So, rag on demand. You know, it's like, I read about the, I read the Panchadhyaya, the gopis, so where's my Raganuga Bhakti? You know, that doesn't work like that. So that's the point. Bhakti's independent. So therefore, the sooner you relax and get down to just being sincere and serious about pure devotional service, then the process moves that quickly. Does that make sense? So to externally follow it is bogus. To reject it and say it's not part of our system and all that, that's also a misunderstanding. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes.
I guess the difficulty is that not many devotees discuss it openly, and then it leaves a lot of space for speculation, and then people speculate and they go different.
But even if you discuss it openly, it becomes a point of even more speculation. So there's less speculation if it's not discussed, because then there's more important things on Facebook coming up that, face nuts. Yeah. We always thought it was something else, but it's actually face nuts. Do you ever wonder why in your house certain things are going on, you can't explain them? It's face nuts. What your computer's doing when you're not watching. Huh? Ever reach for your phone at night and can't find it? Face nuts. Yes, but the point is there has to be a maturity to understand it. You know, it's just like... teenagers. Now, if you started talking about boys and girls and this and that, they'd be quite happy about it. But the point is what's it going to do? Increase their misunderstanding of the whole process. Now, if you explain it according to what qualities, what duties, what attitudes, and all that you need to have to function in that relationship, will they be happy with that? Will they be inspired? May, if they have good training, but we're talking about the modern kind of scenario. They won't like it. Oh, you're old-fashioned, you're this, you're that, and we're having fun, and this is the real thing. You know, 15 boyfriends later, then they'll kind of figure out it's not the real thing. And being 28 and just finished law school, and you're, apprenticing, and you're on your third year of law, then and there's no boys around because everybody in the office is all a nerd and you're not interested, then, you know, maybe what they were talking about before when you were 13 had some validity, but, 15 years later, it's a bit late. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that it's there. But now let us say those same points. A girl who's engaged to be married, and those married women start talking about those points, it will be absorbed 100%. You understand? So therefore, the discussion is also like that. Like, it points, but we're on 10th canto, so it's coming up that we're seeing how it goes. But before that, you see, it's not discussed. A point may be made, but that's it. Like that. So it's only discussed so you understand what is actually pure devotion and what's not. So the problem is those who speculate, they're not qualified. Because those who are qualified won't speculate. So it's one of those, you talk about it, don't talk about it. You know, you don't talk about it, those who understand it will use it, those who don't understand it will speculate. You talk about it, those who will speculate even more. So that's why, if it is discussed, it's discussed in an environment where it could be appreciated. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. We have here, yeah. Mm-hmm.
in the theory was you can get body purification. They said, Mantadeva, I'm not Kshatriya, Rantadeva, Vaishya, Gandhi. And then they said, I'm sitting at the feet of spiritual, that's a spiritual form meditation. I'm sitting at the feet of spiritual master and I'm eager for service. That's the mantra for the spiritual form.
Yes.
And that's all, like, I'm waiting for spiritual master to engage me.
Yes, that's the principle. So if that's understood, then the process works nicely. So Prabhupada mentions following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, remembering those pastimes, those who you appreciate their service, then you meditate on that. That's Raghunuga Bhakti. That's it. But we're expecting, no, what's the, you know, how you say, we want the, you know, we want to buy the magazine, we want to get the, what do you call it, the paraphernalia? You know, the t-shirt and, you know, the sunglasses and all that kind of stuff.
Merchandising.
Huh?
Merchandising.
The merchandise, yeah. You know, you see that guy. Ooh, he's cool. He's got the Raghunuga sunglasses. You know, like that. You know?
Huh? Sweetie, you know the ones they give you in the cinemas?
Oh, yeah. Yes. The 3D ones, yes.
Feel yourself inside there.
Yeah. Not so loud. Yeah. So it's already been given. So just like we see is that in the what Prabhupada's talking about, depending upon how much one understands, one sees more and more depth. Like before, the Varnashram was just a social economic system. Then, okay, something you can gauge. But now we see is, it's how the devotees are expressing their pure love for Krishna. And how the emphasis is on that pure love. And the Varnashram is used as the form. But the point is the form is the best form. So even we're talking about Krishna's eternal pastime, Prabhupada's still making the point. People should use it like that. But its purpose is for pure love. So you see is that there's deeper and deeper understandings. Does that make sense? So that's then what's going on. So it's already been given. The process is already given. It's already inherent in what we're doing. It's that the difference actually in rag and vaidhi is, are you doing it because you like to, or you're doing it because it's recommended you should? That's the difference. That's the actual difference. No, it's not a form difference. So even if, here, I'm meditating on, you know, Mother Jashoda and all that because you should, because this is the process, it's still Vaidhi. But Vaidhi purifies the heart. It brings us closer to Krishna. So we'll get purified, and then like that, at some point, it may turn actually into rag. So this whole thing, oh, you have to read about the gopis, oh, we don't do this or that. That's all, they're saying, oh, this is rag, but it's actually Vaidhi. Because you have to do it. This is the principle. That's why rag has no secondary form. Its form is Vaidhi sadhana. That's why it's all called sadhana bhakti. Does that make sense? If that's understood, everything goes more nicely, all the speculation goes down, this, that, blah. But people don't want it to go down because they want some secondary thing. They want to show. Like, so that's the whole thing, is everything in the society, the status-wise, is all what you can see. The car you drive, neighborhood you live in, the clothes you wear, the cut of the clothes. It's all about that. That's how you know. Oh. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that so we're looking for the same thing in devotional service. That same status. But the point is rag and prem don't function on that. It has nothing to do with status. So that status, need of status for our gross and subtle body is mode of ignorance. So then that's why then the whole thing, it's not actually like that. So it's already been given. You know, that's the thing. It's an open secret. But then the problem comes is that it's misunderstood, misapplied. And then you come up with all these other things and they create trouble. Does that make sense? So that's what we've seen in the past. Anytime it's come up and used this secondary aspect, it creates trouble. If it doesn't use the secondary, then it's fine. Because if it doesn't use the secondary, you don't see it. And therefore, you don't know it. you know. Like I say, I remember walking with father and his friends and all that. We're on vacation somewhere, and they're all talking the normal stuff they always talk, and they're always laughing and joking and all that, and I'm just there. And then one day, I understood what they were saying. And I mentioned it, and they all cracked up laughing. So that's the whole point. When you understand it, then you know what they're saying, and before that you don't. So that's why they don't talk like that. Parents don't talk in a gross way if kids are around. They talk in a subtle way, and they all know what they're talking about. But that's the point when you use these externals. You're using a gross method for dealing with something so subtle. Does that make sense? So whenever that happens, you see, that's when that part gets kicked out. But the problem is those who don't understand it kick the whole thing out, you know, the whole baby in bathwater. So that's also wrong. It's a matter of maturity. No, this is not the time for it. One doesn't have the maturity. If this comes like this, one has that interest like that, that's there, but this is how it's done. And so then, if someone can meditate on Krishna's pastimes all day and do their serve, great. But who is? Right? You know, generally the complaint is I'm chanting and my mind's, you know, on something else. But it's not that I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but my mind is so absorbed in Krishna's lila and all this and that I'm not hearing the holy name and all that. So what do I do to correct this? You know, I haven't heard that question yet. So, is this okay? Yeah. What's not okay?
It's not that it's not okay, but I'm thinking is that without education, appreciation doesn't happen. So we can't.
That's there, but at the same time, is you have to look at what you're dealing with. So that's the whole point. Is that if you're dealing with those who want to speculate, there's no use trying to educate them. In other words, educate them in Vaidhi Sadhana, to follow that nicely, that's the method you'll get to prema. If you have those who are mature in their thinking and thoughtful and all that, not speculate, you know, not inclined towards speculation, then if it comes up, then it can be discussed. So it's a matter of what you're dealing with. Like I said, there's that moment. And then, yes, now you can. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, before puberty, the training of the girl is just about good qualities. Right? So chastity means good qualities. At puberty, then it's a matter of, you know, they can understand the depth of what chastity means. So that's the point, is education is important. But let's say if you ran a seminar on Raganuga, you'd probably get, you know, thousands of people would show up, you know, like that. But the problem is they probably wouldn't like the discussion. No, but, you know, I feel, you know, but in mind, since it's spontaneous, but I feel we should, you know, we're just going to get that. So you don't want to encourage it. So those who can appreciate it, it can be explained. And then they know where they sit. Like that, because it's just a matter of the process it goes, it will get there at some point. Does that make sense? So if there's an opportunity to educate people, you do. But if there's not, then you don't. Because otherwise, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. I'll get back to you after this time.
Oh, one line about what you mentioned about Raganuga Bhakti once. You said that something to the effect that Raganuga Bhaktas don't get up one day in the morning and decide I'll stop Vaidhi now and practice Raganuga today.
Yes. It's because the form is the same. It's an attitude. Yeah. Yeah. I think I also mentioned it's not that you're walking down the road and get hit by a lightning bolt and then suddenly now you're a pure devotee or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premana.